me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Yes, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. This is Purpose Talk Radio. I am your host, Cindy Freeman. And it is a March 13th, 2015. And it almost doesn't feel like the beginning going from, probably a few years last week. What can I say to you today? Anyway, let's see. Here's a little bit about Purpose Talk Radio, first of all. We are on the air to allow people who are living their purpose to share what their purpose is, how they seem to like, how they seem to achieve it, and maybe a tip or two that allow you to serve your purpose and get to where you need to be, too. We are on Blog Talk Radio Network. There are a couple ways that you can participate in this show. The first would be in the chat room on the bottom of the Blog Talk Radio page. However, it is not opening for me. Somebody maybe can let me know through Facebook if it's working or not. It's just hanging up there, so hopefully it is actually open for you folks. It doesn't mean I can read it. We can do with that. So the best way to participate in the show is either with Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, which soon there will be a thread pinned to the top of the page for that, or you can call in on Skype. If you're listening on Skype, just press the number 1. We'll know that you are there and want to talk to us. And the other would be to actually call in on the phone. We do still use phones for this show, which is good, because without that, you wouldn't be hearing me. And that number would be 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Every week we are airing on Fridays, 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. And, you know, I just realized that the U.K. did not change their times. So I get a feeling it's 7 p.m. in the U.K. right now, as opposed to 8 p.m. I'll have to adjust that for next week's show. If you would like to be a guest on our show, if you'd like to share your products and services with others who are looking to find their purpose and live their purpose, you can get a hold of me through our website. The website is PurposeTalkRadio.com, PurposeTalkRadio.com. You can send me an email directly to Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com, CINDY@PurposeTalkRadio.com. You can find me on Facebook through either the show page, Purpose Talk Radio, the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group, or my personal Facebook page. Easiest is probably the show page, though, to be honest with you. And let's see, the other thing I want to tell you is that wonderful song, maybe I'm a little biased, but it's still a wonderful song, that leads and is a theme song for Purpose Talk Radio is called I Am Who I Am. You'll hear a little bit of it at the beginning and at the end of each of our shows. That song was created by the group True Trinity. That would be Jillian Clark, whose voice you heard on that, Rachel Martinez, and myself. You can find that song as well as one called Be the Difference for purchase on that on their site at truetrinity.com, TrueTrinity.com. Now, having all of the what you want to call housekeeping, advertisements, announcements. There we go. Better announcements. Out of the way, I am going to go back over to our mind here, and I'm going to pull in our guest for a couple minutes before I actually introduce her to you. And our guest today is Anne Wondra, and we'll be talking about the 12 steps from a woman's perspective, a deeper wisdom. So, and yes, it is against the traditional 12 steps. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Cindy.
I'm like, uh-oh, wait, did we get lost in the technology again?
Oh, no.
Anyway.
No, I'm here.
Okay. Good, good, good. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. You're fading out, though.
I am. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if this makes any difference. Okay. Does that help at all?
Yes.
Oh, we'll find out. Okay.
Okay, now you are fading back and forth. Hello? Cindy? Hello? Hello, Purpose Talk Radio. Hello, technology seems to be playing with us. I can call back in. Okay, I'm live on the call. Well, I'm supposed to talk Cindy. I can't hear you ask any questions. All right, so I'll wing it. What do you want me to say? I can tell you where I learned about the 12 steps. I can tell you... Okay, I didn't write the 12 steps from a woman's perspective. They're actually the work of author Patricia Lynn Riley. And she calls them a deeper wisdom. Hello? You're back?
Hello. I'm back.
Hey.
I wanted to finish it. Okay, this is not a computer one. This is a phone that decided I don't want. It just wanted to disconnect me and then not dial anything.
Oh, my goodness.
Anybody who's got phone suggestions, please give me a suggestion, the inexpensive smart phone that I can use, because this one's being... Oh, I won't talk
not
about
very
it
smart.
Badly because, yeah, it's something like that. I need it to last at least through the show. So, yeah, it's getting old. It's had its thing, and it's only a little old 3G. So I guess it doesn't like working in 4G networks. So you know, it'll find a very peaceful place to be soon. So yeah.
Okay.
Anybody, please feel free, folks, to give me a suggestion of what I can get that would be inexpensive as the replacement here. So, anyway, I heard some of you talking. I should have actually put it onto the computer. I know you were talking about the 12 steps and you not creating them. I'm going on with that.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But I'm sure knowing you, you didn't introduce yourself. Go ahead.
I didn't what?
You didn't introduce yourself, though. I know you.
I didn't, no. I'll let you handle. I'll let you handle that wonderful thing. Because you wrote up so much good stuff.
you
really combed through a lot to find all that.
A journalist knows how to do stuff.
Yes, she does.
Try hiding it. Yeah. You know, folks, Anne gave me a one line about herself when I asked for bio. So, you know, in the future...
A brief bio.
I do it for a short bio. I ask bio so that you my own doing. I admit that. You know, so when I say brief, typically, in my opinion, you know, half a dozen sentences rather than half a dozen words. But, you know, whatever works for you all, folks, you know. In other words, it's fairly painless to be on this show. You don't have to provide a whole lot of information to be on the show. I just want to let you know that. You know, you can give me 6 words and I can work with them. But I'd like our audience to know a little bit more about you. So, anyway... As you were kind of saying, though, the book was written originally by Patricia Lynn Riley. And I will actually introduce you folks to Anne. I was going to do, you know, a little chit-chat about some other things, and we'll come back to that maybe just this month at the end. Anyway, so Anne Wondra does live out here in Wisconsin, as well as I do. And pretty much she dances with life spirit in an ordinary life. The soul coach, writer, life coach, mystic, muse, connector in creative arts, retailer, teacher, travel partner, and retreat speaker. This is when she very first met the author Patricia Lynn Riley. It was at a bookstore event in 1996. I'll tell you a little bit more about that 1996 in a minute. As she said, shortly after her awakening about perspectives, words, control systems, and how women experience and hear words very differently. And then later was introduced to this book that she'll be talking about, A Deeper Wisdom, 12 Steps from a Woman's Perspective. But there is a little bit more to her background, as I mentioned, if I can, of course, find exactly what I did with it. The other piece of that is, you know, Anne grew up and was raised in a Catholic church in the 60s in a small rural town in Wisconsin on a farm. And while growing up on that farm, of course, Mother Nature was her ever-present teacher. The natural laws applied to everyone equally, which is really kind of neat. It's not, nature doesn't tell us what gender, race, color, creed, religion, or anything we are. It treats us all just the same. In Wisconsin, it's always going to snow, no matter what part of the city we're going to be living in Milwaukee. We might get a little more, a little less, but basically it's going to treat us the same way. And it's going to make us cold, period. Or it'll make us warm as the sun does today, so that's great. But Anne's first desired vocation was to be a Catholic priest. And that religion of her childhood didn't allow women to follow that career path, and they still don't to some extent. Some of that has changed and updated, of course. So Anne had to find another way to her purpose for the moment. So she went through life and was doing lots of other things, including working for a gentleman who became her mentor, her coach later on in life, and taught her that, you know, she doesn't necessarily have to be in that religious place to be doing what she wants to do. And again, we'll talk a little bit about that. She is the first of 8 siblings. I think it was the first. The rest, of course, being boys. So she had a firsthand experience of some of those other things, the male energy versus the female energy and all that in her household. Some of the things that she's learned to adapt to now. And
it was a good training ground.
Cool. Yeah, you got to test the waters a little bit, right?
I learned how men and women think differently.
Yeah, you know, and I probably wouldn't notice that. I probably just sort of faded into the woodwork and went, okay, I'm one of them, and that's the way it is because I'm one of the kids, you know. So it's interesting that you find that difference.
Well, so back then...
But then again,
back then, that was the case. I said back then that was the case.
Okay.
It wasn't until later hindsight, 2020, and you notice.
Okay. Right, exactly. That makes sense. But January 6, 1996, the Feast of Epiphany and the Holy Family, There was a powerful roar of awakening at the same point.
A burst in a way that pushed Anne kind of out of that church into the unknown, so that she was never again to return to that.
But then has had, as I said, this spiritual journey, this spiritual walk ever since then. Mentors, coaches, people in her life that have led her to where she is today, to the point where she is coaching and leading other people do similarly. But out of that journey came that business called Wonder Spirit. That's my business that she uses to coach others right now. Together, that venture and she have continued to evolve to help others find their path and their own evolution, learn to fly as they're meant to do. 12 Steps from a Woman's Perspective is just one of those pieces. So can delve into those a little bit, as well as go, now, you know, through all of this, you've had your spiritual journey, so does, for some people, I'm going to touch on this Friday the 13th thing, just because that's what it is, and then we'll go into the official, a little more official things of what we're talking about, because, you know, 12 is supposed to be a mystical number, which we're going to be talking about. I mean, excuse me, 13 is supposed to be a mystical number. We're talking about 12 steps, and sometimes I go, well, why wasn't a 13, since that 12-step program is considered a spiritual journey as well for many people? But who knows? Wherever it came, it came. You know, maybe if it was, you know, a male's creation of it, which it was, they didn't even think about those kinds of things, or because it was so long ago they didn't think about that. So, you know, what is this Friday the 13th stuff? With you,
13 and Friday were both goddess numbers.
Okay.
13 and Friday were both connected to the goddesses. And so in some traditions that got a bad rap because the goddess was honored as the creatress of life, because birth, you know, the female birth is the giver of life. And it was associated with cats, black cats. Those are just pieces that are part of the spiritual side for women that, you know, the church told us we were created in the image and likeness of the divine. And I looked in the mirror and that's female. At least in my case, it was. And that was the piece that was missing. When I walked out of the church in my childhood, it wasn't throwing, I said, I didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I just drained the bathwater to get a better look at, you know, what the teachings were and what applied for women and what didn't. What was empowering and positive to women and what wasn't. Patricia Lynn Riley, the book that she was talking about and the book that she was signing at that bookstore in 1996, it was called The God Who Looks Like Me. This woman has a master's in divinity. So in both our cases, and I was a religious studies major, at single, 30, and female, so this was like several years, you know, after I had my religious studies degree. And, you know, so in both cases, it wasn't a case of not appreciating or valuing spirituality, it was actually deepening of the spirituality that we had because we were really paying attention. We were listening and hearing words. You know, and when you're going through spiritual changes, you're starting to listen like you've never heard these words before. And when you're hearing them and they're not including you, or they're not speaking to your experience, or they're not empowering you to grow your greatness. It's a wounding rather than a freeing. And in both our cases, that's what was happening. So when I found her resource called The Deeper Wisdom later, it was a very refreshing piece because I'd known this woman's work before. She's got one segment in there called Respectful Distancing. And that was a piece that I found that I've used with clients quite often. She starts telling a story of campers. And this camper saw a butterfly. Well, actually, it was in a cocoon. And the camper saw it struggle and felt sorry for it because it was struggling so hard to get out of this cocoon. And the camper had a pocket knife and said, you know, what if I just cut it just a little bit, it'll make it so much easier for this being, this creature, to get out of that cocoon. And so the camper did. And what happened was, yes, the butterfly was able to get out of the cocoon easier, and it dropped to the ground. And it was never able to fly. It ended up dying. And nature is amazing. The thing was, butterfly needed to strengthen its wings. So the cocoon was specifically designed, the struggle of that cocoon was specifically designed to allow it to strengthen its wings. So when it got out, it could fly. And so respectful distancing speaks to the idea that sometimes those around us have to go through their own things, and we have to respectfully distance ourselves and allow them to go through their struggle. It's not our struggle to go through. It is theirs, and it is strengthening their wings for whatever it is that's needed.
And I think on the same side, we need to realize that we need to go through some of these things sometimes to strengthen ourselves to be where we need to be at the end.
Exactly.
You know, and not
so when we're going through stuff,
run out right away and go, you know, I need somebody to help me get through this. Well, no, sometimes we got to get through it ourselves, and sometimes we do need to seek the help of others.
Well, sometimes you need to just have somebody else that's allowing you to do it in a safe place.
So what brought you, and we're going to work a little bit backwards, I think. What brought you to that, we've talked a little bit about you walked out the door of that spiritual place of your childhood. I don't want to say was there a reason that you did that, but I'm sure was there a specific turning point that made you say, this just isn't allowing me to be who I'm feeling I'm meant to be?
Yes.
Was there
that's what I call
it. Just that day, yeah, as we said, that specific day. Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, the fact that it just was so indelibly, you know, January 6th, it's a Sunday night, it's 6 o'clock service. I mean, and up to this point, I'd been faithful going to church every single week because this is what I do. I mean, I love my faith. I love the church of my childhood. And so the reading that week was the infamous one about the wives be submissive to your husbands, okay? Now, that wasn't the part that made me roar. that got me upset. It was the homily after. Okay, so you got to understand that this was not only the Feast of the Epiphany, it was the Feast of the Holy Family. And so the reading before that talked about how families work together and they help each other, right? Beautiful reading. Okay? Then there's that line that has gotten my ire and a lot of other women. And then there was the following line that was left out, which the homilist pointed out in his sermon, that it was about slaves being obedient to your masters. And the church realized how bad that was and how wrong it was, so they left that out of the reading. And that was when I boiled. Now, keep in mind, this was like the final straw after a whole lot of years of you know, just things building up. Unconsciously, some of them were subconsciously. But anyway, so that really got me was the thing that they had no clue how much the line they left in has damaged the lives of women. Either they were ignorant or arrogant, and either way, I knew I couldn't stay there anymore because they had no clue what the spirit of a woman needed to to grow. The fact that they left that line in there, and that has been used and to the harm of women inside and outside of religious institutions forever. And there was like no understanding of this. So that's when I knew that when I walked out of that church, I wasn't going back in. And that's also when I really knew that I'd spent almost 40 years listening to everything spiritual from a man's point of view. And for the next 40, I needed to balance that out. So I ended up finding a church that had a lady pastor. And, you know, just hearing everything differently and refreshingly hearing it resonate. And that was for me. That was because I knew that it hurt more to stay than it did to leave. If they didn't have an understanding that of a woman's spirit. And again, that was just a catalyst for me to do what I do. So I started finding and sourcing resources that were empowering to a woman's spirit. Authors that, you know, women authors that spoke to the spirituality of women, like Joan Borisenko, A Woman's Journey to God, Sue Monk Kidd, The Dance of the Dissident Daughter, Patricia Lynn Riley, A God Who Looks Like Me. So all of these great women that took paths before me, they were my mentors. And you know, I pulled out stuff that really helped me understand things also. The other piece of that is that I was a religious studies major. So when I'm in my scripture classes and theology classes, and I'm listening differently, and I'm asking different questions. I'm not only reading the assignments and reading the scriptures, I'm reading between the lines. Because I know different things about the history, about the times, about the women's stories that are told in there and alluded to in there. And and then there's the Jewish rabbi who was a guest speaker one night, and he said, words I'll never forget, and he said, "You know, consider the possibility when it says men, it means men. You women are already spiritual. You were born that way. You have the ability to give birth."
Oh, wow.
Yes, men? Yeah. He said, maybe it's us men who need all those rules. So, talk about freeing and permission to really take ownership of your own spirit, your own soul, to understand that we have a direct connection to our source. I mean, that was my greatest lesson from the farm. You know, we are directly connected. So, yeah. Part of the journey. But
well,
yeah.
And
so I created.
You know, for anybody with any questions, I know this is, understand that for all of my guests, you know, their journey is their journey. It's not,
exactly.
We don't, you know, work with one versus another versus whatever. You know, one spiritual path is not right or anything, male versus female, and none of that is the deal here, because everybody can pick and choose what works for you. So.
Exactly. In fact, what I did is I created a toolkit for people to find their own, because when I went through this process, I knew what steps I had to take, what questions I had to answer, and I tell people I have no vested interest in your answer. I'm just going to have you help you ask different questions and find resources in different places. But like I said, that's not the focus here. And I was a religious studies major. I was interested in the stuff that was common across cultures and people and universal laws. And again, where it didn't matter what color your skin was. And bottom line, it's got to be something that empowers and inspires you. Because that core piece of us, it's like we're here, our soul. That's our soul. We're here to grow our greatness. Our souls didn't come here to hide. And we get the perfect catalysts and people in our paths and experiences to help us be who we're here to be. And so, yeah. Cool. So that's it.
Oh.
That's what I'm about.
What brought you
into
that
book? What would you like to know about the 12th?
So what brought you into the bookstore that day?
Because Patricia Lynn Riley was the speaker.
What brought you into that bookstore?
What brought me in?
And you had already gotten a hold of the one book. Yeah.
You know, I was just drawn because I knew I needed to hear about a God who looks like me. From, yeah. And that's why there were 40 other women there that were listening and learning at the same time. And that's what that was the step that took me on to the next stage of my discovery. So.
Okay. So we've got this book that you've been reading, somebody else created. Now you've decided that you want to share this a bit with folks.
I just want to let women know that it's out there. Whether or not I lead any groups or anything on it doesn't matter. It's an ebook that Patricia wrote. It's out there. It's $12, and she states that, you know, get a copy, make a second copy, share it with, you know, a sponsor in AA terms, or, you know, but it's not only for 12-step programs, it's really a very self-empowering piece. So,
we will delve into those, yes. Just so folks know, the Blog Talk Radio Conversations post is finally up there. Once you go and make comments during the show, feel free. You can do that over at Talk Radio Conversations. If you wish to jump into the conversation, please call 347-205-9074. However, the Blog Talk Radio show chat room, I don't believe, is open yet. It's just sitting here skinning away. So you'll have to come to this book. Okay, so let's talk about these 12 steps. I'm going to, you know, I am familiar myself with 12 steps. I think most of us are, at least to some extent. We know people that are in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm just going to try and rattle off a bunch of them. I'm sure I will miss some, but adult child of alcoholics, NA, what would it be? I forgot. Was it Narcolepsy, whatever, Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous. There's just pretty much anything and everything. There's Messies Anonymous. Somebody was kind of joking about that, but there's a little more to it than that. You know, there's just a whole lot of these 12-step programs that were built originally around the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. They're all modified slightly with their steps. If somebody's interested in that part of their life, especially, I will come out and say, especially with food, I've been associated with with Overeaters Anonymous as well as Adult Child of Alcoholics over the years, and have a little bit of familiarity with them. So if somebody's interested in that part of their life, feel free to get a hold of me. I hopefully can lead you to the right direction of those. For OA, it's any kind of problem with food. It's not just overeating per se. And I know that some of these other steps and these other programs as well, it's not necessarily a direct
issue with that particular item. It does, you know, a lot of us manifest these the emotional draws, even though it might not be this particular product itself. So that's what I think all of these try to overcome, and that's what I think hopefully we get out of it today, too, going through the traditional steps as well as the ones from the book, from Patricia's book, and the ones that you've been studying. So let's, do you want to go through each of these steps a little bit and kind of talk about them or summarize them as they've come to the understandings for you? Should we do it that way?
Sure. Otherwise, you can tell, you know, you were going to say what the one, what the step was, the traditional one,
right,
one,
right,
and then I was going to read the, yeah.
Exactly. You know, we don't, I don't plan these shows a lot. I let Spirit guide them and get a basic idea of what I want to do, and we just see where it goes, you know. So
well,
that's pretty cool.
Okay,
so step one is we admitted we were powerless over whatever product that is. In this case, I'll use the alcohol one. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Where does Patricia go with hers?
The rewritten says, caught in the swirl of my habits of behavior, I was not aware of the resources available to transform them. I have reached out for support. This is a brave action on my own behalf. I celebrate my courage. And I should go back a little bit and explain why the difference of in the language and in the terms. In the traditional 12-step model, the person is admitting they're powerless. Now, from a male perspective, the masculine has always believed that they were in power. And so for them to admit they're powerless is the only way that they can come to a community and work on their restoration. For a woman who's always been assumed that she is not powerful, it's in that to admit that she's powerless is just reaffirming what she already believes. So, for a woman, so there's a difference in how they understand power. So, for a woman, she has to draw on her deeper wisdom. A woman affirming, and I'm going to quote Patricia on part of this here. A woman affirming recovery encourages us to reclaim our original power. Women affirm that it is possible to be both connected to others in community and to have power. Women redefine power as the capacity to act on their own behalf, to author their own lives, to deal with whatever situation confronts them, and to gather necessary resources to heal into the present. These capacities are fostered in community. For men, the admission of powerlessness is essential in order to experience connection with others. For many women, walking into their first therapy appointment, women's support group, or recovery meeting is a powerful act on their own behalf. And that's from A Deeper Wisdom. So it's a subtle shift, it's a subtle difference in, so instead of saying, you know, admitting you're powerless, you're reaffirming that you have power and you're acting on your own behalf and celebrating your courage.
Okay, I just didn't know what was out there to be able to restore that power. Yeah, the one I heard was on that. I didn't know you had the didn't have the resources before this point. Right, a lot of people don't realize there's anything out there, or there's nobody else like them. I feel so different, so isolated before they walk into any kind of a 12-step program. You know, and then they hear everybody else's story and go, oh my God, all you are, at least this was my experience, wait, all you did this
did that? Wait, I did that. I thought it was just me.
So, yeah. Cool. Here, let me the resources. Okay. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I struggled
step
with that
two.
One. I didn't believe I wasn't sane to begin with.
Okay. I don't know how to respond to that. I'm going to say that you're sane. Okay. I have come to believe that my deepest impulse is toward health and wholeness. I am restored to a loving and trusting relationship with myself. My vision of life flows from health and wholeness. Let's see what else she says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away her whole book, but do you have these steps written out, or are they pretty much written out in the book then?
I have a list of them.
Have people go.
In order.
Okay. Okay.
So, I mean,
those into the conversations group later.
So she's got them. So if we want to just go through them, we can do that. And then she's got, you know,
What?
A little bit about what?
About the whys or the hows that came to, you know, what makes those different.
Because she explains each one. You know, coming
okay.
to believe, for example, step two, she talks about bringing many names. As written, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. And then as rewritten, she says, I've come to believe that my deepest impulse is toward health and wholeness. And then it goes on from there. And she writes, coming to believe, overwhelmed by our own addiction or caught up in the addiction of another, we reach out to the 12-step community for assistance. Okay, the first step, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol or that our lives had become unmanageable, was relatively easy for us to acknowledge. It was the unmanageability of our lives that prompted us to seek community support. The second step, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves would restore us to sanity was harder to accept. Old-time members spoke of coming to believe in a God or higher power. This God talk triggered our early attitudes, beliefs, and experiences with religion. Images of confessionals and days of atonement, pangs of guilt and shame, and the judgment voices of rabbis and priests welled up within us. Yet we desperately needed the support of the program, so some of us twisted our sense of the divine into the shapes we thought acceptable. We stuffed the religious images of childhood back into the closets of our memory, hoping to quiet the pangs of guilt and the judgment voices of old. We thought by ignoring our religious past, we would eventually come to believe in the God espoused by the program. Others of us left the program, unable to get the God part. And then she's got quotes from people that were in the program. And some of the population that the author worked with was women who had been in abusive relationships or abused as a child. And so the idea of a higher power was not something that was comforting or safe feeling. So the images didn't work.
Hmm.
Anyway, and she goes on from there.
Okay.
She uses some.
Talk about that higher.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to read a input from some of the things that, you know, she reminds, she does some different meditations and readings in here. She says, in the beginning, mm-hmm. in the very beginning of her life, the girl child has direct access to the spirit of life. It is as near to her as the breath that fills her, and it connects her to everything. She is not alone. Her spirit is one with the spirit of her beloved grandmother, of her favorite rock, tree, and star. She develops her own methods of contacting the spirit in all things. She climbs a tree and sits in its branches, listening. She loves the woods and listens there, too. She has a special friend, a rock. She gives it a name and eats her lunch with it whenever she can. She keeps the window open next to her bed, even on the coldest of nights. She loves the fresh air on her face. She pulls the covers tight around her chin and listens to the mysterious night sky. She believes that her grandmother is present, even though everyone else says she is dead. Each night, she drapes the curtain over her shoulders for privacy, looks out the window near her bed, listens for Grandma, and then says silent prayers to her. Her imagination is free for a time. She needs no priest or teacher to describe God to her. Spirit erupts spontaneously in colorful and unique expressions. God is Grandma, the twinkling evening star, the gentle breeze that washes across her face, the peaceful, quiet darkness after everyone has fallen asleep, and all the colors of the rainbow. And because she is a girl, her experience and expression of spirit is uniquely feminine. All flows from her essence as naturally as the breath. The spirit of the universe pulsates through her. She is full of herself. Eventually, the girl child will turn away from the spirit-filled one. Her original spirituality will become confined within the acceptable lines of religion. She will be taught the right way to imagine and name God. He will be mediated to her through words, images, stories, and myths shaped, written, and spoken by men. She will adopt the God she is given. It is too dangerous to rebel. If she dares to venture out of the lines by communing with the spirit of a tree, the mysterious night sky, or her grandma, she will be labeled heretic, backslide, or witch. She is told, prideful one, your grandmother is not God. Neither is your favorite star or rock. God has only one name and one face. You shall have no gods before him. God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He is found in the church, in the heavens, in the holy book, not in you. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is God of the fathers and sons. The daughters have no say in the matter. Remember, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be. The spirited one falls asleep. Occasionally she awakens to be reminded the girl child turned woman of what she once knew. Anyway, it goes on from there. Obviously I resonated. I grew up on the farm. The nature spoke to me.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a suburb, and so I understand that. Unfortunately, I wish there was more out air free space that I could be in. I'd always dreamed of a farm or a ranch.
Yeah,
and you know, maybe someday that'll still happen. But exactly because of the outdoors, the nature, the I look up at some of the sky. A lot of times. Being up at sunrise or out on sunset or the miracle of some of these clouds, you look up and you're going, how? Look at that shape. You know, we always see animals, angels, whatever. One day I saw I had cleared away some stuff, lots of stuff out of a locker, and looked up, and I was not the only one that saw it. The person that was with me, it literally was a cowboy western dressed person with the hat, maybe a Spanish more than a Western, folded hands as if praying, and both of our phones were dead. Now we know that it was just an internal thing. It was the most perfect face image that I have ever seen in my life, and it even brings tears to my eyes now.
knowing that essentially it was God telling me, hey, you did good, because I've been doing that stuff for so long. So, you know, you're right. We look out at nature. We go back to that caterpillar you talked about. And you know, you think of that, and how, like how God, a being, whatever you wish to call, name that being, created this thing that literally goes into this little house for a while and comes up something different.
Yes.
Wow. You know?
Incredible.
Wish we could do that sometimes. You know? Yeah.
So, we go through our own metamorphoses. You know, different times in our life, we look back and we look at who we are now, and it's totally different. So good. Nature's got some great
birthday party. Look at what I was 10 years ago. Look who we were. You know, and we all go through that. Like you said, that zero birthday too. A lot of us are the five. A lot of us look back and go, wow, what did we do back then? And
yeah,
I like that idea of our own personal metamorphosis.
And some of the changes are more internal than external. And those are the hardest ones. Like, you know, that our whole mindset is different. Breaking out, you know, I look back now and the real reason I left was because I had outgrown the church in my childhood. You know, I love every single bit. I mean, everything that was part of that was important to be there. And I used the analogy of an egg. You know, when a bird hatches out of its egg, every single piece that was inside that egg, that bird needed, or it would not be the bird that hatches out and eventually gets feathers and flies. So it's not a put down in any way. It was everything I needed at the time to become who I am now. But it was also knowing when it was time to move on to the next thing. It was like my boot in the butt. It's like, okay, you're out of the nest. Go. You need to find, you need to grow those feathers, those wings, and fly and find your own. So.
Okay, let's move on into the third step, as I say, to move on to forward. And this is the one where, in most programs, it brings in the masculine God, like you say. And, you know, again, some change it, some allow the change to say that they want, however they want it. But the traditional one has made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him.
I choose to relinquish my negative habits of behavior and replace them with life-affirming ones. I cultivate my relationship with deeper wisdom, the part of me unharmed and unhindered by the wounds of my experience. There again, it's the subtle thing, the set of higher power, deeper wisdom. It's acknowledging that with every breath we are directly connected to our source, and that deeper wisdom is always within us and always accessible. And she defines it, a relationship with deeper wisdom, that part of me unharmed and unhindered by the wounds of my experience.
And I think it comes back to show that no matter how bad, how deep down we have fallen, no matter what it is, there is a part that we have to remember. There's always a part that is good that we can hold on to. Anybody that knows me knows that's something I try to, I put out there. There is a positive in every negative. There's something that you can grab onto to pull back up and get out of that muck.
And also,
so,
we, yes. Yeah. Thank you for that. Fourth step.
Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves.
Step four, turning a merciful eye toward myself, I inventory both my life-affirming and ineffective behaviors. I love the merciful eye.
That one I think is pretty similar. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And I love the way it focuses in on the behaviors. You know, it speaks of them as life-affirming behaviors and ineffective behaviors. So the, so it's
the best. Yeah, the best fourth step I ever did, exactly, was looked at the quote-unquote positives and negatives off of it. You know, it's like, okay, this is what's still good. Again, the fact, same thing. What's still good here? What did I learn out of all of this?
Yes. And that's ultimately the purpose. It's like, what do we learn? What are we learning? How are we growing out of this? Step five.
I think most programs spend a lot on those first four steps, and so that, you know, that's, I think that's part of why we spent quite a bit on it too. So now we go into, let's see, the second two thirds, pretty much probably goes a little bit faster for most programs, but maybe not. So yeah, step five is admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. I'll be curious what she says about this one.
In the company of my circle of support and wisdom, I celebrate my life-affirming behaviors and accept responsibility for my ineffective behaviors.
Okay.
I was going to also share the author here. She grouped steps 1, 2, and 3 together, and she put them in a category called letting go of over-responsibility.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that one is a huge one for women, because we tend to think if something went wrong, it's our fault. It's one of those top 10 power robbers. And so, you know, to understand that so I'm going to share a little bit again from... what she said. When we get caught up in the swirls of others, they become a burden to us. Settled and grounded in the serenity and responsibility of our own lives, we become free to support others in ways that enhance them and do not dizzy or burden us. Practical steps 1, 2, and 3 daily. Practice steps 1, 2, and 3 daily until they become deeply embedded in your relationships. Focus on the past or current swirl. Step one, and then she gives you a script. I am not responsible for the swirling thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and actions of, and fill in the blanks. I become dizzy when I step into his or her swirls. Step two, I have come to believe that deeper wisdom is at work in his or her life and in my own. Deeper wisdom restores me to the serenity of my own life and reminds me of the way home. And step three, I turn, fill in the blank, over to the wisdom of his or her own process. I will not violate, fill in their name, their intellectual, spiritual, emotional boundaries. Across the distance, I choose to honor and respect, fill in the blanks, sacred journey. So that's the respectful distancing again. I love this because she gives you scripts that you can fill in the blanks, and you can, and you've got these acknowledgments. Acknowledgement: I am not responsible for swirling thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and actions of blank. I become dizzy when I step into his or her swirls. You know, and so you can personalize these. You know, pick a situation or somebody that's in your life that that their actions are upsetting you. And remind yourself that that's their peace that they have to go through, not yours.
So is that the, is she running both the, like the anon pieces, the, you know, those we are in relationship with who are struggling, and then there's also there's our own journey of it. Because a lot of, you know, there's Alcoholics Anonymous, there's Al-Anon for the relatives, the friends. It looks like
she's
a
got
a little bit for both sides.
Right. She's got samples. She's got clips, and it sounds like from both. That are, that the clients that she worked with when she was putting this together were a mix. Some had been in, you know, families where there was, there were situations going on, and others had been actual, you know, they had been the victims. So, yeah, that's what it sounds like. But, okay. Steps 4 and 5, she titles, she groups together as merciful consciousness. In other words, don't be so hard on yourself. Sometimes we are harder on ourselves than anybody else would ever be. And I don't know if that's a helpful thing or not. But once again, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if you would be merciful to someone else, you get to do that too, for yourself too.
Yes, there is that part of it. I know a few of us that like beating ourselves up, and and I go, I had the therapist once say, okay, now, would you say that same thing to your friends? And I went, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Why are you saying it to yourself? Can't you be your best friend? Hello? You know.
Hello? We're not encouraged to do that, though.
You know, there's these... No, we're not. You know, as we go through 4 steps, we find that, you know, that core, that onion, and keep peeling off more and more layers a lot of times. A lot of people go through several 4 steps and then get to the middle and go, oh, well, this is my fault. Well, yeah, not really, you know.
It was that, that's a whole other conversation.
We accepted,
yeah.
Right. That we accepted the situation, but at the same time. Yep, at the same time, sometimes...
Sometimes, all right, from a soul level, I believe that there are things that we sign up for before we came here that are going to be our teachers for ourselves or for somebody else or for a combination of both. But, and like I said, we get the perfect catalyst always. That's, we're here to grow our greatness. We're here to learn. We came here to we came here to experience this physicality of a place called Earth, and to grow in our understanding of who we are. And this physical plane allows us to experience things we can't experience anywhere else. I mean, we physically get to experience what it is like to walk around. We physically get to experience what it's like to give somebody a hug, to receive one back, to experience what it's like to laugh and giggle. Okay, step 6. Moving on. Step 6 here, rewritten. I am entirely ready to have my injuries healed and my ineffective behaviors transformed. Okay. Cindy, I hope you're still there. I lost you. For step seven. Okay, it looks like the phone is not working from your side, Cindy. So you're giving me the traditional seven, the traditional steps. Seventh step, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. The rewritten step seven, my recovery journey is orchestrated by deeper wisdom. In the fullness of time, healing and transformation occur. I actively participate in this process. Step eight, originally written, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Rewritten, step eight, certain that I love myself, I welcome clarity and honesty in my relationships. I acknowledge those who were splattered by my ineffective behaviors. I celebrate those who were blessed by my life-affirming behaviors. Step nine, going to go ahead here because I'm not sure. Step nine, as written, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step nine, rewritten, having forgiven myself, I bless myself and others by making amends whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. That one is very much the same. Still making the amends. Step 10, as written, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 10, as rewritten, I turn a merciful eye toward myself and my relationships daily. I acknowledge with gratitude the gifts and challenges of the day. I celebrate my life-affirming behaviors and take responsibility for the ineffective behaviors. 11, as written, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. As rewritten, through prayer and meditation, I place myself in the middle of the stream of wisdom flowing through my life. I listen to its urgings. I live in harmony with its impulses toward health and wholeness. And finally, step 12. Having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I carry this message to others and practice these principles in all my affairs. Anyway, so many of the steps are similar. There's a parallel, and it's just a different option, and hopefully helpful. Cindy, I miss you. Where are you? Sometimes technology is such a pain. I'm still on the air. All right. So, the 12 steps, the program again can be found at, you can go to Patricia's website. It's imagineawoman.com. And if you go to her IAW store, you're going to be able to scroll down the page and you're going to find a white lotus flower. It says purchase the ebook, A Deeper Wisdom, The 12 Steps from a Woman's Perspective. It's a $12 investment, and with the $12 investment, you have permission to make two copies of the program, one for you and one for a sponsor or a friend, and to share it. So it's a resource for women, or actually for anybody that just wants a different perspective, maybe doesn't have maybe has trouble with the God talk that's in the traditional 12-step program. Maybe it's just you're someone that just wants to set on setting your own, strengthening your own personal boundaries. Because it's not just, you're right, she does deal with the Al-Anon folks a lot. The focus, though, is reaffirming our inner courage. To know that when you ask for help, it is a sign of courage. To trust in a deeper wisdom. And so, it's all good. Find the resources that work for you. One size thing works for one person, it might not work for another. I'm a connector. And this is one of the resources I found that speaks to the feminine spirit. So, if you want more about me and what I do, you can go to wonderspirit.com and you can look at the events. You can also find my blog at everydaygoddesscommunity.com and annwondra.com. I have a passion to empower and celebrate the goodness in the human spirit, especially the feminine spirit. Cindy, I hope you're back soon. Because I'm sure you have some great comments on this. If anybody has any questions out there or comments they'd like to share, that would be great. So the question came in, how do I relate to a deeper wisdom, the 12 steps from a woman's perspective? My background is not focused on the 12-step program. I have obviously had clients that have been in the 12 steps. I'm more of the Al-Anon side. I have friends that have been in 12-step programs as well. And so I know a bit about them. I focus on helping people set healthier boundaries and keep them. And this was a tool, a concrete tool, that allows one to fill in the blanks. When we have statements we can follow, when we have a script we can follow, many find it a lot easier. And this author did a very eloquent job of differentiating why some situations sound differently, or why we might need to reaffirm that it's okay to set a healthy boundary. You know, on the one hand, there are things we can't change. You know, that's the Serenity Prayer. Help me to understand the things I cannot change. And, you know, on the one hand, I'm limited and finite, and on the other hand, I'm powerful and gifted. So, I'm getting messages in here. Okay. The dance is always to choose to focus on what we can do something about and to let go of what we can't. For example, in a dysfunctional family, I am powerless that I was born into the home that I was born into. However, I can courageously walk through whatever I've walked through and look at it from a perspective of what did I grow from it. Another question that's come in, can the 12 steps as rewritten be used in a group of mixed gender? I think that would be up to the group. I can't answer that. I would probably work with women on it, but that's just me. You're dealing with different mindsets. There's a different ego element that comes into play with when you have the masculine energy in there. I don't know. I leave that to the group. It's a resource that's out there, and there are a lot of guys that are more highly sensitive, and maybe this would be an excellent resource for them as well. I can't answer that. I haven't lived this lifetime as a guy, so that it's an option. I guess I would go with that. If anyone else wants to call in, you're welcome to do that. The phone number again is 347-205-9074. And anyway, thank you for asking. Apparently our host is having some technical difficulty with her phone for now. Hello.
Hello.
Cindy, you're back.
I am. Gee, I think Spirit wanted me out of the way for some reason.
I don't know. It was really quiet in there for a while because I didn't know what to fill in the time with.
Well, you are still on the air live. Just want to let you know that. So whatever you were sharing, apparently you got dead air.
I had a lot of dead air.
You had dead air? You had dead air. Oh, well, okay, folks. Then I don't think there's probably too much people listening. And you got through all our wonderful steps and all that, huh?
I gave the step. Yeah.
Okay. So how does this work in a group? I mean, would the 12 steps be acceptable into a group this way? Are there any groups that you're aware of using these steps this way? Are there Patricia's talking about?
I don't know of any groups. I'm not that connected with the 12-step groups. I just know it's International Women's Month. And this was one of the resources that I pulled out because she's also got that poem, I Am a Woman, or Imagine a Woman. And I used that in the International Women's Day celebration on Sunday, and which made me think of the resource, so I shared that.
Cool. All right. Well, then I will, if there's anything else that you wanted to share, go ahead, like how to contact you would be good.
Contact me at, they can reach me at theeverydaygoddesscommunity.com, wonderspirit.com, and 262-544-4310 if they want to call and ask a question. Anyway, thank you for having me on here. I've appreciated talking about this program, at least introducing it to let women and guys, too, know that there's another resource out there called The Deeper Wisdom, The 12 Steps from a Woman's Perspective. And it's an empowering and encouraging thing, and to anyone who's in a program working to grow their greatness and improve their life and remind themselves that they're just in a transformation process. I say thank you. Go good. You know, it's a sacred journey, and it's a path that you're on. We're all on our own things. So it's living. It's good. So, and thank you for letting me be here.
Okay. I will put you back on hold, I guess, to wrap up the show. And if you can put those steps into the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations Facebook group, that would be great. Or whatever else you might like to add over there, because I wasn't typing because I was trying to get phones to work. So,
okay.
Okay, that would be great. All right.
Thanks,
well, I'm sure we will talk again soon. Thanks, Ann. That was our guest, Ann Wondra, today, speaking on 12 steps from a woman's perspective, a deeper wisdom based on the group by Patricia Riley. And that book is available, you know, if you wish to purchase it. Otherwise, if you wish to listen to this show again, you can do so at the archives. I'm going to try and edit that when I can and get rid of the dead air. So if you get, if you listen to this later, you may or may not have dead air. If you you had the song Gift of Love by Jillian Clark. Just because, you know, the phone played games again. What can I say? Anyway, as I was saying, if, you know, you don't get the dead air, that will be good. If you do get the dead air, I apologize. Hopefully you listened through this much of this show. And, you know, life goes on. I just keep playing by spirit here and seeing what else there might be for us to do. The one thing I was going to ask Anne to do with us yet was an affirmation, and I had kind of forgotten to do that. So if there is one that you'd like to add back into the show, we always do an affirmation, I am something affirming. Anne, I'd like to invite you to do that.
I have one.
wholesome. All right.
How about I am good, gifted, talented, and beautiful?
Awesome. I am good, gifted, talented, and beautiful. I love it. I love it. Because I like leaving people with something wonderful and positive to consider during the week.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. There was somebody that had a question in, and her name was Joy, and I didn't get the question in time, so I'm not sure what she wanted, so hopefully she'll call back in or leave me a note.
Oh, where was Joy posting? I normally do get her
on
stuff
the,
over here.
Yeah.
Did she get in the chat room? Did she get in the chat room?
Apparently. Apparently, yeah. Because it's on the...
Joy,
still...
Or the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group. I'm not seeing. All right, Joy. I know Joy. I'll connect you guys up. And if you're still around, Joy, give me a shout back. I can't get into the Blog Talk Radio chat room still, but I'm on the conversations page. So let's see what we get. Come on, give us a question, and we'll see what we get. I'll repeat it for us. Anne might be able to see it in the chat room, though. All right, I'm going to put you back on hold for the moment and try to wrap this show up one more time before the phone goes dead again.
All right,
Anne.
Got it. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, we'll try this again, folks. I apologize for all of the wonderful technical difficulties. My tongue is getting a technical difficulty. You know, if you'd like to be a part of this show, as you hear through this, you know, it's not that tough. It's just a fun radio show, and that's all I do with it. You know, if you're serving your purpose, no matter what that might be, cutting lawns up to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and anything and everything in between, I'd love to have you be on the show. And even if you're only serving your purpose right now in this moment, doesn't matter. You know how you got there, maybe. You know what you want to do. You have dreams, you have goals, and that's what this show is about. Please feel free to contact me via our website, purposetalkradio.com, PURPOSETALKRADIO.com. You can email me directly at Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com, CINDY@PurposeTalkRadio.com. If you have services or products you wish to share with those looking for their purpose and wanting to be a part of that, email me as well. Being a guest is very simple. We air every Friday, 2 p.m. in the Central Time Zone, noon over in the Pacific, 3 p.m. in the Eastern. And for now, I believe it's 7 p.m. in the U.K. It will change to 8 at the end of March when they change their clocks. And I think that's pretty much it. The closing and opening song that we have on our show is called I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity. They can be reached at TRUETRINITY.com. So unless anyone has anything else, we give you the last 30 seconds, 347-205-9074 to call in. That is the show we are every week. And there was something else I was going to say about that, and it just slipped my brain. Oh, yes, to listen to the show on archived, you can go to the same link where you listen to it live and put some comments into the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations chat room on Facebook. I'd love to have you over there. That stays pinned every week until the next one goes up, and then it just scrolls down the screen. So I thank you all for listening this week. And as we close with I Am Who I Am, I wish you all soul blessings.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.